Hallelujah to your name. Let's be seated this morning. Continue to worship him in this place. And thank you, worship team. God bless you guys. Hallelujah to your name. Lord Jesus, I pray now as we come into this place of worshiping you in your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show yourself to be real to us this morning. We need you, Holy Spirit, in our lives. We need you to come and fill this place. You've already inhabited our praise. May you remain, Lord God, as we continue to worship you. And we take your word that's a lamp to our feet, it's a light to our path, and it helps us, it guides us, it encourages us, it strengthens us. And Holy Spirit, won't you illuminate your word now to us so that we can apply it to our lives and be well equipped as we leave this place to do for you as you've called us to do. We love you and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Thankful for the presence of the Lord in this place. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. How many loves the Lord with all your heart? Give him praise one more time. You know, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit this morning. I'm thankful that he gives us specific words. He is not a haphazard or general speaking Holy Spirit. Many times he's very, very specific to us, and that's what I want us to talk about this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit would have us to know how specific that he wants to be in your life this morning. Just real quick from last week, if you remember, we looked about how Nehemiah went from his place to Jerusalem, his beautiful, comfortable place, to a broken down city, and rallied the people to rebuild the wall. And there's three things that these people needed to have that I want to encourage you to write down if you weren't here last Sunday. If you weren't here last Sunday, write down these three words, and I'm going to flesh them out for just a moment before we go into this week's message. First one was willingness. You know, God has given each of us a will. We can choose to serve him or not. It's really our choice as to whether we make a choice to give him all of our heart or give Satan our hearts. Really, we're giving the world our hearts. The Bible says we're either conformed to the world or we're transformed by the Lord. Either conform to the world means you're just going to be like it and the things that the world says is cool and right and the way to go, or being transformed, which is really opposite of what the world says, and that's found in God's word. So are you being transformed by the Holy Spirit and by the word of God and by relationship with him? Or are you being conformed to the world? That really is a choice that we make every day, and that really is a matter of your will. You submit your will to the Lord and say, Lord, I submit my will to you to be transformed. Or I submit my will to the world to be conformed. It's really our choice. So then people had a mind to work. They were willing to work and saw the job that was set before them. The next thing that they had was an understanding. They understood. They counted the cost. You know, when we serve the Lord, there's a cost to be paid. There's a price that you have to pay for it. The price has already been paid by Christ, but we pay the price every day by taking up our cross and following him. It's really a choice that we make. There's a choice that we make every day to have an understanding that there's a cost to be paid in order to serve Jesus. And they were willing to pay the price. They counted the cost. They saw the task ahead of them and said, let's do this. And finally, the third thing is that they had a determination. Determination. You see, whenever you do something for the Lord, there's always going to be the enemy coming against you saying, yeah, you don't want to do that. He'll either try to distract you, discourage you, make you sick, draw you away in some other way to something else. Whatever it is, he's going to do everything he can to keep you from doing what God has put in your heart to do. So there's a determination, just like the people of Israel were trying to rebuild the wall, and those people kept coming back to Nehemiah and the rest of them saying, you don't want to do this. There's people that are going to come attack you. You don't want to do this. It's never going to succeed. It's going to fall down even if a fox walks on top of it. It's going to collapse. They were mocking. They were ridiculing. They were belittling. They were threatening. And Satan is the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? And he's going to try to keep you from doing what God's called you to do, but you have to have a determination to do what God's called you to do, a long-term determination. It's not going to happen in a day or a week or even a month. It may be years and years and years that God's called you to do something. You have to be determined. You're going to do it with all your might. That's what we looked at last week. And the reason I wanted to review last week is it's going to tag into or tap into what I want to talk about today. And that is this, in that there's a specificity, that's not the right word. God is very specific. That's what I'm trying to say. Specificity. I can't say it. He's very specific. Somebody can help me out with that later. Specificity. That's hard to say. Yeah, that's the word for the week. Everybody come next week. We're going to learn how to say it, and I want you to say it to me next week. You guys are trying to say it now. I hear this going on. The Holy Spirit is very specific in what he wants us to do. And his strategy is to proclaim the gospel. Did you know that the only reason that the Holy Spirit exists, it's not to fill us so that we can speak in tongues or to have the Holy Ghost goosebumps or anything like that. The job of the Holy Spirit is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's job is to, through us, proclaim the gospel. Is that specific enough? The Holy Spirit equips us and empowers us to proclaim the gospel. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. And that's it. Everything else is just kind of extra. Yes, we get discernment. Yes, we get words of knowledge. And yes, we get all these other wonderful fruits and gifts of the Spirit. But all of it points to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our job. And that's the Holy Spirit's job through us. I want us to look at two different characters in the Bible and talking about how specific the Holy Spirit is in what he did through, in and through these men. First one is in the book of Acts, chapter 8. Write this down. His name is Philip, one of the disciples. And if you go to a backstory of this, you're going to see in the first part of Acts, chapter 8, where there was some attack on the church in Jerusalem, and so the church scattered to different parts of the known world at the time. And Philip went to Samaria. Now, Samaria was a cross-cultural place. It was further away from Jerusalem, but it wasn't that far away. It was mostly in a different area of the city. Put it into modern-day vernacular, it would be like us Christians going to a Muslim section of the city or a minority section of the city, whatever you think that that would be. It's just a different part of the culture. He wasn't with his peeps. He was with someone different, all right? So he went there, and the Jewish people were not really going to bother Philip there. He was in a pretty safe place. And you're going to see in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, we're going to start there and read the first few verses. Let's read along. It says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles, which he did. And for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And finally, there was great joy in that city." Now, in modern day terms, Philip was as an evangelist going to a city. He was holding a 3-week revival, and then it was going so well that he extended it another week and another week and another week. He got on the local radio station. He handed out flyers. He got on the internet and posted on the Samaritan Facebook of what's all is going on. I mean, word of mouth was happening. It was going great. And an evangelist in this day and age would stay there and just hold down camp for a while. Hey, if it's going great, why go somewhere else, right? The word of God's being preached. People are being healed. I mean, there's mighty revival going on in Samaria. I'm staying here. But the weird thing about it is that the Holy Spirit said something just the opposite of what we would think would be the normal, logical thing to do, because the Holy Spirit is very strategic and he's very specific. He knows exactly what he wants done, because the Lord God is speaking through the Holy Spirit to us to do the will of the Father. So here's what happened. It starts off in verse 26. Let's skip over, because there's some things happening with a guy named Simon the sorcerer that has nothing to do with the story. So we're going to move on to verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, and we're going to continue on with the story of Philip. And here's what happened with Philip. In verse 26 it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And then this one little sentence, it says, "This is desert." Just want to kind of qualify that, just to describe it to you. It wasn't an inhabited place. There wasn't a McDonald's there. There wasn't a Starbucks. I mean, it was nothing. It was just a desert road, all right? Coming from Samaria, going towards Jerusalem. Basically, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go from all this that's happening here, this awesome thing that's going on, and go out to the desert by yourself, alone, that way, away from here, over there. Continue on. So he arose, and he went. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet." Let's continue on. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come on up and sit with him. And the place to the scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning this scripture, preached Jesus to him. I love this story because Philip is a man just like you and me, just a servant of the Lord. No different than you and me, servants of the Lord, believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior. He was doing the work of the Lord. And here's Philip just walking along. We kind of tend to elevate some of these guys in the Bible as, "Oh, they're up here and I'm down here." No, we're all here, okay? We're all just men and women, boys and girls, young men and young women alike, just servants of the Lord, okay? Now Philip is in the Bible. He's a great example for us, and his story is told here, among other places. But Philip was having a mighty revival, and the Holy Spirit said, "Go that way, because I have a job for you to do." It's tucked away in there in a couple of verses before 35 that he says, "So Philip got up and went." I love that because it doesn't say anything about the struggle or the wrestling that he had, but I got to think that as a human being, that he probably had a little bit of a discussion with the Lord. I'm going to fill in some little gaps here and just to say, "Are you sure, God?" Now it's going really well here, and people's lives are being changed, and demons are being cast out, and bodies are being healed, and the gospel is being preached, and the lives are being, it's going well here. Are you sure you want me to go there where there's nobody on a desert road where I have no idea why you're even sending me there? I'm sure that there was a back and forth there, but ultimately it settled in his heart, and he said, "I will get up and I will go." And so he went up from that place, and he went down the road without really any explanation. God didn't say, "I want you to go on the desert road because you're going to meet an Ethiopian eunuch and you're going to preach the gospel to him," et cetera, et cetera. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't know any of that. We know at hindsight, it makes sense that the Holy Spirit would tell him to do that because that's what happened to Philip and yada, yada, yada. But at the time, things were going really well for him where he was, and God said, "Go that way," without any explanation as to why or what was going to happen. So Philip, in his obedience to the Holy Spirit and his complete trust of the Holy Spirit, said, "All right, you know what's going on. That's what I'm going to do." And off he went to meet the Ethiopian eunuch and preach the gospel to him. So there's three things that are similar to another guy that I'm going to talk to you about in the Old Testament that I want you to write down. The first one is this: God is going to give you specifically a specific path. Write that down, specific path. He didn't say, "I want you to go towards the ocean. I want you to go up to the mountain. I want you to go this way." He said, "I want you to go that way, the desert road, that one that leads to Jerusalem." It's a specific path. Where is he telling you specifically to go? What path is he pointing you towards? There's a specific path. The Holy Spirit is not willy-nilly. He's not random. He knows exactly what he has for you and I to do. There's a specific path that he has for you to walk, number one. Number two, there's a specific place. In this case, this specific place was a chariot, which happened to have an Ethiopian eunuch sitting in it reading the Bible. I'm not sure that that's going to happen to each of us. I don't know. It may. You may run into an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot, but I doubt it. I don't know. You may. But he has a specific place for you to be. So where is your, in 2018, chariot? Where is that place that he has for you to specifically go? He's walked you down a path. Now there's a particular point in that path that he wants you to stop and say, "Stop right there. I have an assignment for you." See, you have to kind of be aware of what's going on. Philip could have just been bebopping along saying, "Well, I'm just walking. Hey, how you doing, dude? Keep walking." And there's this guy on a chariot reading, and he's totally oblivious to him, and he misses his opportunity. So it's being very aware of your surroundings, and the Holy Spirit says, "Stop. There's a guy." And then he went and talked to the guy and was very strategic even in that, saying, "What are you reading?" "Well, the Bible. It's kind of strange. You understand what this is all about?" And so Philip was able to, at that point, in the scripture to give the eunuch a specific word. And that's the third thing I want you to write down, a specific word. So there's a specific path, a specific place. In this case, it's the chariot, the eunuch, and a specific word, which was the gospel. He was preaching the gospel to this man. Now, let me tell you something about this eunuch. You'd think, well, it's just this easy Ethiopian eunuch. Yeah, but guess what? He was the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. So do you think he had a little bit of leverage, a little bit of influence, that his voice was a little bit louder than just some old guy on the street? He went and got saved, because if you continue reading the rest of the story, which we're not going to do this morning, is that Philip baptized him, he accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and then off the eunuch went to go talk to Candace, saying, you'll never guess what happened. See this in Isaiah? Let me tell you the rest of the story. A man by the name of Jesus, and I accepted him, and then the queen, I'm sure, was able to, through his position there, get the gospel out to an entire country. So because Philip chose to trust the Lord, and leave from influencing what we'll say is a city, which didn't make sense to him that he would go down a desert road, he influenced an entire country, and ultimately countries. Because of that one step of obedience, the Holy Spirit is very specific. You know, and that's just Philip. Well, when's the last time that God's called you to an Ethiopian eunuch and ministered to a whole country? Probably never, but he has a job for you and I to do. And we all have our Ethiopian eunuchs the Holy Spirit is directing us to, that strategically, through that one person, many others are going to be influenced, because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what God wants us to do, and he's come to direct us in that way. It's a specific assignment that Philip had. And then you can read the rest about Philip later on. Let's look on to a man in 1 Kings by the name of Elijah. Because do you know the Holy Spirit didn't just show up in Acts chapter 2? The Holy Spirit has been around ever since the beginning of the creation of the earth, because the Bible even talks about in Genesis how the Holy Spirit breathed. The Spirit of God breathed and breathed out and spoke out the existence of everything that's in creation. So he was right there at the beginning. Let us make God a man in our image. He's talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are fully God, we are fully man, and we have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit is not just a part of our lives, he should be our lives, because it's the life of Christ in us and through us. And here it is in Elijah's day in 1 Kings chapter 19, and backstory for this guy, he was just coming off of a really great, great moment where he called fire from heaven after he poured water all over the sacrifice, bunches and bunches of water. Fire came down from heaven, licked up the water, burnt up the altar and everything on it, and then all the prophets of Baal were killed and slaughtered and sent away, and then Jezebel hated all that, and she said, okay, I'm out for your hide. And so Elijah, out of that big victory, was running tail and hiding and running away from Jezebel. A great big victory, and then he was down the deepest, dark despair of his life, and off he went. And again, the backstory is that he was discouraged. He was really wanting God to just kill him. And finally, the angel of the Lord came and fed him some food, and at that meal, fed him a couple of times, and based on that meal, he was able to walk for 40 days and 40 nights to the particular place. And that's where I want to start off with in verse 8 of chapter 19, a man by the name of Elijah. So he rose and ate and drank, and he went in that strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, to the mount, or the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And so verse 10 is identical to verse 14. You'll see it as we go along. He says, So Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord of God of hosts, and the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Pretty much, yeah. Then God said... And we laugh at Elijah like, boy, that Elijah, he didn't have much faith. But how often do we do that, right? I'm the only one left that loves you, Jesus. Devil's picking on me. God said, all right, first off, I'm not going to pinch into your little whininess. I'm not going to say poor baby. He just said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But you'd think God was in that, huh? But the Lord was not in the wind. But then after that, the wind and the earthquake, the Lord was not also in the earthquake. Where is he? Verse 12. And after that, the earthquake and the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" In verse 14, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God." See, what is it that I told him again? Oh, yeah, here's my speech. "Because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I am left alone, and they take my life too." In verse 15, he didn't say, "Poor Elijah." Again, he totally ignored that and said, "Elijah, go and return to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael the king over Syria." That's number one. Number two, "Also anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi as king over Israel." And finally, number three, "Take Elijah the son of Shaphat of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint as the prophet in your place." Verse 17, "It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill." And verse 18, "Finally, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." See, the thing is, you're not alone. And Satan would love to try to isolate you and say, "I'm out to get you, your days are numbered, you are toast." But that's not the case. So here's Elijah running away from the greatest victory that he's ever experienced, really, in his ministry thus far. Running away. But God caught up with him and said, "Let me strengthen you with a meal or two. And now go that way, because I've got a place for you to go. And then I got a word for you as you meet me there." And so, again, there was a specific path. In this case, it was the Mount of God. Elijah went to the Mount of God. He met God, in other words. He went away to a particular place that the Holy Spirit led him to, and that was really getting away and getting alone with God. Where's your Mount of God? Where's your special place that he has for you to get away to? And more specifically, Elijah had a specific place. It was actually in a cave. There's a little hole in the cave right in the mountain. So it's not just this mountain, but get alone in that little cave. That's where Elijah went. And in that cave, God wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake. But he's in the still, small voice. That's where he met God. Let me just stop right there and just say something about that. We too often like to run to the big, loud places. The big evangelists, the big fireworks, the big stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, it's the next best thing. It's the next greatest thing. It's the latest thing. You know what? God's not in any of those things. He may be some, and God may use some of that, but I'm saying, listen, there's a one-on-one that he has for you in that still little cave, that still small voice. And it's along the lines of, if you've ever listened to a radio, an AM or FM radio, but usually AM, you ever turn an AM radio dial? Back in the day, they used to have what they call a dial. and you can tune the radio to a decent frequency. And sometimes if you don't get it quite right, it's what they call static. You've heard of static before. And it's just this really kind of messed up sort of sound. You can hear a little bit of a voice back behind saying, "I can get that a little clear." And you tweak it. Finally, you know what I'm talking about. You find that sweet spot. There it is. And boy, it's just as clear as a bell. And that's what happens in life. We get a lot of static going on, don't we? We can watch Fox News. We can read the headlines. We can get on our social media. We can listen to our coworkers. We can get busy with life and taking our kids to soccer practice. And we can be busy working, and we can do our chores, and we're just busy, busy, busy. And we barely are able to squeeze in an hour and a half on a Sunday morning so that we can check off the box to meet with God. And then off we go to the races again, and we barely, barely are able to hear that voice because there's so much static in our lives. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God has a word for you, a specific word for you. He's not going to cram it down your throat. He's crying out to you. But he's not in the fireworks. He's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the big grand things that we think that he is. He's in that still, small voice as we find that place in him and with him, in that little cave, that little place that says, "Here's what I have for you." And let me tell you what happened with this. You heard what happened. Elijah was given three different things. Go anoint this king. Go anoint this prophet. Go do these three things. Off you go. And by the way, you're not alone, so quit your whining. That's kind of what he said in 2018 vernacular. You're not alone. Stop whining. You're not all by yourself. But I have three things for you to do. And so Elijah went and did those three things. So that's Elijah's job. That was his specific assignment, to anoint these three people. What is your specific assignment? And how do you even get to that place where you're able to hear the voice of the Lord? Well, let me just wrap it up by saying this. We got Philip. We got Elijah. There's so many other examples in the Bible, folks, of the Lord speaking to people, specific assignments, and them doing it. But those are just two of many. But for us in 2018, God has a specific assignment for you that I can't do. And God has a specific assignment for me that you can't do. Right? So what is it that the Lord is speaking to you to do, and at what point are you going to do it? Last week, we had that little card handed out, that RSVP card. And the question on that bottom of it was, what is the Lord speaking to you? I don't know if you filled that out yet. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you just tucked it in your Bible and you've been so busy this week that you haven't really paid attention to finding out what that is. But it's a very important question. It'll change your life. It'll change the trajectory of your life if you'll answer it. But if you don't know the answer to it, then let me suggest to you to get alone with God sometime this week and say, Lord, what is it that you would have me specifically to do for your kingdom? I don't want to just go through another week spinning my tires, being busy, listening to static in my life, and hoping that I'm just doing something that is your will for my life. There's a specific assignment that he has for you. But first off, you have to go down that specific path. It's really called the inner courts. It's that holy of holies. It's that place of just getting alone and tuning out everything else. Because there's a specific, and that path is through praise. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, enter his courts with praise. Ultimately, when I get to the Holy of Holies, get alone with the Lord and begin to praise him. Go through that process of praise. Don't go in there and start making petitions known right away. Hey, God, I don't have much time for this. I just need you to bless me. Amen. Bye. That's kind of the extent of most of our prayers. He's looking for communion. He's looking for relationship. He's looking for intimacy. And so get to the place where you come into his courts with thanksgiving, into his gates with thanksgiving and praise, begin to worship him. Ask him for forgiveness of sin. Get yourself cleaned up. That's the next step. Third one is go ahead and make your petitions known, but also speak God's word. It's what God's word says about it. And then go back. When you leave that time, thank him. But that's a great process, but somewhere in there, and don't be in a hurry with it. Say, God, what is your specific assignment for me? Holy Spirit, speak to my life. It may not have to make sense to me. By the way, it may not make sense to you. Would it make sense to Philip? I don't think so. This doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it. Here's another criteria. You don't have to like it. I don't know if Philip even liked it. I'll do this, but I don't like it. I'm going to walk in obedience. So what it does require is obedience. You don't have to like it. It doesn't have to make sense. You just have to walk in obedience. That's the thing. Obedience. You plant water, he brings the increase. Walk in obedience. I'll take care of this. I'll let you take care of the results of this. I'm simply going to go out to the desert road and see whatever happens. And we see what happens. We saw what happened with Philip. But your book has yet to be written. Your story is still in the process of being written. What is it that God has for you? I'm talking to you this morning, not just to the congregation, but you as an individual. Ask yourself that question. God, what do you have for me? I can't tell you what that is, but the Holy Spirit can. Because as he's telling you and you and you and you and me and everybody else in here, all of it together, again, brings glory to God, points people to the gospel. It promotes and furthers the kingdom of God because that's the Holy Spirit's job. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories before we wrap this thing up today. First one, some of you heard this before, but I'm going to say it again because I love telling it. It was about my wife and I, Kelly and I. We started dating in October of 1985, and we dated for a while, about 6 months, and then we broke up, and then we didn't see each other for a couple of years, and we dated other people, grew up, I guess, a little bit. I don't know. The Lord is working in our lives in different ways, and I'm fast-forwarding to a time in June of 1988 when I was working at PTL at the time. Things were not going well there. There had been a fall in 87 and things were starting to contract at the ministry a little bit, and people were leaving, moving away, being laid off, etc. My job was fine at the time, but Kelly didn't know it, and I lived in a condo right across the interstate here. I mean, on Riverview Road, just right here, back then. And there's two sides to this. She thought she saw a for sale sign on my condo. I guess she happened to drive by there one day and there was a for sale sign, but there wasn't. It wasn't for sale. Well, she was upset about that. She thought, oh no, he's moving away. I'll never see him again because I'm just that kind of guy. You know? And then so I'm sitting here, I'm sitting here coming back from really on a date with a girl, if I can just say it, okay? And she was just a friend, and the Lord just wouldn't go any further with that. She was just a great friend, and I could never duplicate that love that I had for Kelly, that connection that I had, that God thing that we had. And so on the way back from that, it was on a Monday night, and it was in June, and I was coming down this I-77 right here. I can tell you, just past Sutton Road. I can tell you exactly the spot, right here at Sutton Road, so close to this church. And as I was coming home, I kept saying, Lord, I'm just so frustrated here. I was just praying through the whole thing of why it's just what God was trying to do in my life and really seeking him about my relationship with whoever it would be, my wife. And all the while, everybody, the two or three that I dated, I always held up to Kelly as an example, and they never measured up. And so finally, I just felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, call Kelly. And so back then, 1988, no such thing as cell phones. And, you know, the extent of a portable phone was as far as the cord would reach from the wall. That was the portable phone back then. So 5 minutes away, I called. It was a little after 9 o'clock, and I called Kelly, and her father answered. And I said, "Hey, Richard, is Kelly, you know, on the line, or is Kelly there?" And she said, "Yes." So you have to understand, they did the television program in the mornings. They recorded it live, and then they recorded it and they showed it, I don't know, 2-3 times throughout the day. So it was on again at 9 o'clock that night, and I was one of the singers on the program. So there I was singing on the television program, although it was taped, you know, I wasn't really on it. They were just showing it again. And so she was watching me, I guess, sing on TV, and I'm sitting here on the phone, and Richard's dad said, Kelly's dad said, Brian's on the phone. And she said, "You're so mean, that's not funny." "No, it really is, it's Brian. So she comes, she talks on the phone with me, and I, there's a couple of different things to this, so I'm gonna tell you what happened. Right at that point, Kelly had a few days before, when she saw that for sale sign on my condo, which she really didn't, started really seeking the Lord and saying, "Lord, I just really want to call him. I really want to do something to reach out to him. I don't want to see him go." And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, what did the Holy Spirit say to you? What is that phrase? I want to make sure and say it right. Come on, I'm putting you on the spot. What is it the Holy Spirit said to you?
"How can I prove to you that I answer prayers when you keep trying to help me out?"
That's it. Okay. How do you expect me to answer your prayers when you still keep trying to help me out? Thank you, Kelly, for letting me put you on the spot there. I just want to make sure and get that right. So she actually took her hand off the phone and chose not to call. That was Sunday? Saturday? Sunday. It was Sunday. On Monday, 24 hours later, I'm calling her. Because, see, the Holy Spirit orchestrated it to speak to her, and you listened. And the Holy Spirit orchestrated to talk to me, and I listened, and we got together, and we got married 2 months later. So that's kind of the story. That, by the way, our 30th anniversary is coming up into this month. So the end of that story is this. It's all's well, but I just want to say this. The Holy Spirit doesn't need our help. He just needs our obedience. It doesn't have to make sense to us. We just have to trust in him. And I'll tell you how often that has been, several times for us, a landmark to go back to when we have gone through some tough times in our marriage. We always go back to that and say, but we know that the Lord put us together. And that has, to us, been a landmark that we go back to and say, thank you, Lord, for showing us that and giving us that story to tell. But it all goes back to listening to the Holy Spirit and following his direction. It's hard to do because sometimes we want to help him out, but he doesn't need our help. He needs our obedience. One more thing, and then we're going to close. And if you will, go ahead, Jackson. I'll let you go on up there. I was talking to a man this week, and I think this is just another great example of how we can listen to the Holy Spirit. we were talking about different things as far as outreach ministry and different ideas of evangelism, and he shared with me this story, and I thought it was so appropriate. I wanted to remember and tell it to you this morning. He said whenever his team would go to minister in the community, sometimes what they would do is they would get together as a group, and they would just begin to pray and say, all right, Lord, we're getting ready to go out from this place, out beyond the four walls, to minister in the community. Holy Spirit, speak to us. And they spent time worshiping. They didn't just go in and, you know, 5 minute real quick thing. They just really waited on the Lord, because sometimes you got to get that static out. But eventually, when they got tuned in, the Holy Spirit would say to them, and they had a pen and paper ready, and they began to write down stuff, kind of odd stuff, like black shirt, red pants, bandana, pink dress, Hello Kitty emblem, whatever. Just unusual things. They would just write down stuff that seemed random. It didn't seem to make sense, but they wrote it down. And then off they went to Walmart. And they kept that piece of paper with those random things on there ready. And what they were doing is they were looking around and said, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm got a feeling that there's somebody that's wearing a black shirt with red pants and a red bandana that you have for me to go talk to. There's a girl out there, hopefully a girl, with a pink dress and a Hello Kitty emblem on it. You never know, that you want me to talk to. And wouldn't you know it, that every single time they wrote these things down, there would be somebody in the produce section. There would be somebody at the medicine counter. There would be somebody in hardware. There would be somebody in that store as they walked around. And there was a guy in a black shirt with red pants and a red bandana. And they would go up to him and say, hi, my name is Brian. I know you don't know me, but I got a feeling that God wants me to share something with you. And they go, what's this all about? I don't know. We were at the church just a little bit ago, and we were praying and asking the Lord to direct us to some people. And the Lord told me that someone was going to be here with a red pants and black shirt and a red bandana. I wrote this down. And that's you. I don't understand. And they would just, it would get their attention. And it would be an open door to share the gospel. You see, that's listening to the Holy Spirit too. Any of us can do these things. I just love that story. And I would say that God has a specific assignment for you to tell someone about Jesus. And folks, I can't do it for you. And I can't implore you enough that one day we're going to stand before our Maker. And we're going to have to have an account of what we did and did not do for the kingdom. And I'm here to call you on notice this morning that it's another week that has passed. And I'm asking you, what have you done for the Lord this week? What specific assignment have you fulfilled that He's called you to do? If the answer is, I have not, then start today and find a place with the Lord to get that specific assignment. Let Him have that still small voice to speak to you and take you down that desert road where it doesn't make sense to you, but that you're able to meet a pink dress with a Hello Kitty, a chariot with a eunuch on it. Somebody somewhere needs to hear about Jesus, and He knows what He's doing. But He's chosen you and me to do it through. And I don't want you to stand before the Lord someday and say, yeah, I just didn't have the time. I just didn't care enough. I was afraid. I was intimidated. I was complacent. I was too busy. I was this. I was that. No. And I'm not saying that you're not doing it. Maybe you are, and God bless you for that. But if you're not, He has a specific assignment for you, just like He had for Philip, and like He had for Elijah, and like He has for me, and like He has for you. And I'm speaking to myself this morning just as much as I'm speaking to you all. And I'm just encouraging this morning, let's not go through the motions in this thing. Oh, we come on Sunday mornings. I commend you. There's more to it than this. So much more, because it's a relationship that we walk out. And Philip was doing well and God sent him on. Elijah actually was discouraged, and God still assigned him. It doesn't matter where we are in the sense of our emotional or mental makeup. The Holy Spirit has a job for us to do, regardless of how busy we are, how discouraged we are, how incompetent we feel, etc., etc., etc. Let him do it through you. Be filled with the Spirit, Jane. Be filled with the Spirit, Mike. Be filled with the Spirit, Gil. Be filled with the Spirit this morning, and let him empower you for service, that specific assignment. That's all right. Won't you stand with me this morning? September the 9th, we are having an evangelism and outreach meeting after church. It's in the bulletin. Please read that bulletin, September the 9th. It's a month from now. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father God, I thank you this morning that you're helping us today. You're helping us. Father, in our weakness, in our lack, in our frustration, in our insecurities, in our busyness, there's a gentle whisper that you have for us, and that power, that empowering, that equipping is available for each and every one of us. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to like it that you point us to those things, but we do have to walk in obedience. That's all it requires as we plant and water, that you would bring the increase, that unique, specific path, specific place, specific word, and Holy Spirit, that you would use us to find that person wearing black shirt, red pants, and a red bandana this week. Help us to find those people, to listen to your voice that says, pick up that phone and call that lady. Or don't pick up the phone and don't do this and wait upon me. But Father, whatever it is, help us to walk in obedience to it. It starts by listening to that still small voice. In our discouragement, in our busyness, in our insecurities, we come to you this morning. We come to you this morning, asking you that you'd help us as you did in the second chapter of Acts, when they were cowered in the upper room in fear. And Holy Spirit, you filled them, and you empowered them, and you gave them a boldness to proclaim the gospel. You sent them out from that place in boldness, with authority, with a unique and specific assignment to proclaim the word, and from that day, the church exploded. And we're a direct result of that today in 2018. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being faithful to make sure that the gospel got from the upper room to Faith Assembly on this particular day. Now, Father, help us to take it from here to our highways and byways, to our unique assignments, to our day-to-day lives. Holy Spirit, fill us today. Empower us today. Equip us today. I want to ask you this morning to just lift up your hands and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. I need a fresh touch from you. Holy Spirit, fill me. Come on, cry out to him. Reach out to him. Open up your heart to him this morning. Holy Spirit, fill me. I need a fresh touch from you. I need a word from you. I need you to direct me in that path that you have for me. I need that particular place that you have for me, that particular person, and then give me a particular word. Holy Spirit, I'm available. Here I am. Send me. Use me. I'm available. Fill me today. And I'm going to walk in obedience to whatever it is that you assign me to do, and I'll do it. I don't want to stand before you one day apologizing to you. I want to stand before you one day saying, I gave all, I did all for you. Lord, we are not going to play games at Faith Assembly. This is not just a gathering to check off a box. It's for us to get equipped to go out to serve you and to make a difference in our world this week. God, empower us to do that this week. To be sensitive, to not walk by the chariots in our lives where someone is seeking to find out who you are. That we would stop and take the time to speak into their lives, and from their point of understanding, point them to God, to the gospel, and to the realization of who you are, Jesus. God, help us. Help us. We thank you, specific Holy Spirit, for making it very specific to us what you would have us to do. We love you, Jesus.